Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Today's a day of celebration. I want to talk to you about amazing things that happened in 2019 and set you up for what's coming the next 3 weeks. This is such an incredible time to be a part of God's family, and I'm so glad you're here today with us. And I want to make a mention, if you're a guest today, perhaps you're watching online, and this is not going to be a typical message, but I'm really glad you're here because you're going to really hear the heart of this church today and how we so strongly desire to live just so far beyond the walls of this church. And as well, what God does here is so very incredible. So I'm so thrilled you're here with us today. So here's the reality. In 2019, for every one of us, I want you to know that as a church, we truly lived out our purpose. We lived out what we call the Big Four. And because of you, thousands and thousands and thousands of people, not just here, but outside of our walls, have had these very same things happen to them that I'm about to share with you. When you hear our purpose statement and you hear our purpose and our Big Four, sometimes, you know, that can just, you hear it a lot, it can go right past you. Or maybe you're here today and you go, what's that even mean? Let me just take a moment and tell you. Our purpose is simply this. We exist as a church for the simple reason, with all of our heart, we desire to help just everybody realize that God loves them unconditionally. That's why we exist. We want you to know the unconditional love of God. And what that does is when a person knows that God's love isn't based on their goodness or their failure, then he's always an open door. The Bible, in fact, tells us we can't love God until we really know that he loved us first. In the absence of knowing the love of God, you will relate to God through religion. You'll relate to God trying to figure it out on your own, trying to somehow make God love you. The Bible tells us this as well. It is God's goodness that gives us the pathway or leads us to a life of repentance. And all that means is to have your life turned around by God. Until you know he's good, you're stuck. And you're stuck with you. And I don't know about y'all. I don't like being stuck with me sometime. Anybody got, you ever look in the mirror and go, I want to see somebody else today. Anybody, am I the only one ever feels that way? So then we talk about the Big Four. If these four things are present in your life, listen to me, please. You will have lived your life well on this earth. You will have lived your life that when you lay on your deathbed, you will be thrilled that you live the way you live. And there are four simple things that we exist to help you know four things and to experience four things. Number one is to know God. That means intimacy, not religion, not church. Now, church is wonderful. Jesus designed it. But let me tell you something. It's not about church. You come to Jesus before you make church your thing. Church is your thing before Jesus. You messed up because it becomes some odd thing that you do to make God happy. But here's what I want you to get. God wants you to know him intimately. The second thing we want you to understand is that you were designed by God in Jesus through all his work in your life to find freedom. Say it out loud, find freedom. In other words, it's this, getting past your past. Because if you don't know how to get past your past, you're stuck. Yet no matter how much you love God, no matter how much God loves you. And we do that primarily here through what we call small groups. Thirdly, discovering your purpose. You have to find out why you're on the earth. And we exist as a church to walk you through that. Because until you discover your purpose, you can never make an impact with your life. And an impact with your life isn't just solving your own problems, your own needs, your own wants. It's not even for your own pleasure. Making an impact, living a transcendent life, which is the greatest way to live, is only done when you make an impact beyond the four walls of your life. That your prayers don't start like this, God bless my four and no more. That you live beyond yourself. And I'm so honored to tell you about 2019 today. And I want you to celebrate with me with all your heart today, because everything I'm about to talk to you about, I'm going to give you a lot of stats and some great stories. But listen, statistics in these numbers are not just, you can get blurred by those. They can kind of, but I want you to understand every one of these numbers is a human being. Every one of these numbers is someone that Jesus died for. Come on, man. We're going to celebrate every last one of them. Let me give you the first one. I love this one. 3,078 people came to this church for the first time last year. Come on, man. Join with me and give God praise for that. What an incredible thing. And because of you, say it out loud, because of you. In fact, you're going to hear that a lot over the next 4 weeks. Because of you, that happened. And how many of you believe we could see more even this year? And that's going to happen because of you as well. Keep bringing people that are far from God to church. Do you know that George Barna did a study and found that 8 in 10 people will come to church if they're invited by somebody they respect? You say, well, no one respects me. Well, that's just Steve Moore talking. The rest of you all. Oh, no, did you hear that? People are like, oh, you have no idea how much he deserves that, okay? Oh, I love this number. 490 people went through what we call starting point. Come on, man, 490 people. You say, well, I don't know what starting point is. It's very simply the way that you can start. Everybody needs a starting point to discover their purpose and their plan, the plan of God for their life. Starting point is simply a two-week class that you're able to take concurrent with our service, runs right beside it. And you can discover the pathway to actually knowing God, finding freedom, discovering purpose, making an impact with your life. And ultimately, starting point will get you right over to that point where you're going to be able to truly, truly begin to discover why God put you upon this earth. I love this number. 1,125 people serve on a dream team in 2019 here at Victory. Come on, man. That's 1,125 people that are giving of themselves beyond themselves for the benefit of other people. What we call the dream team here are the people that serve in the walls and outside the walls of this church and in the ministries that we do, and everything from what you see with camera people and the worship team, and there's all kind of stuff going on behind the scenes, even in this room. A whole production suite that's back there, and you have people in the cafe and in the parking lots and in the children's ministries, in the young adult ministries, just fill it in. And people all over the place are serving. What an important, it's incredible. Every one of us, because of you, this church could not do what it does without you serving, without you living beyond yourself and making an impact. Thank you for every one of you. Come on, man. Thank God for all of those folks following God in that way. You say, well, how do I get involved in those? Let me give you a simple next step. We have something called a 10-minute party. Guess how long it is? Come on, baby, 10 minutes, that's all it is. After every service, right out in the lobby, you'll see the Connection Center. All you have to do is go right over to the Connection Center. It's a 10-minute party, big old banner. There will be people there from our church, people from our pastoral staff, just to meet you and greet you and talk to you and give you some next steps. They'll help you understand how to get into Starting Point. They'll help you understand how to connect to a small group. They'll help you understand how to actually get involved serving. They can answer your questions and they'll point you to Starting Point, which will actually take you on a very, very, very clear process to get you to those ends in your spiritual life. I love this number. 189 people were water baptized right out there this last year, 2019. And again, you hear these numbers and they can kind of blur into it, but you have to understand that every one of these numbers reflect a human being whose life has been touched, or a human being that's touched another life. So let me just stop for a minute and talk to you about the Patinsky family. I love this story. Is that, in fact, Jody and her husband, Jeffrey, came to me last night after the service. Actually, that was another family that I talked about. Sorry about that, Jody and Jeffrey. But this wonderful family, Jody came to church here at Victory actually to support a friend who said, I was going through some times in her life. And so she just came with her for 3 weeks. And she said she was here 3 weeks. And every time she was here, she just cried the whole time. And God began to do a great work in her life. And then her husband came, Jeffrey, and then the two children came, Caitlin and Allison. And after they were here a little while, the youngest, Allison, said that you talked to her about being baptized in water and what that looks like. And said, you know, Mom, what about that? And so Allison signed up and wanted to be water baptized. And so she was about to take that next step. But then I love when a dad steps in with his family and says, wait a minute, we all need to take this next step. And the whole family together got water baptized. Take a look at that picture. Is that incredible? Come on, man. Come on, celebrate that. That is a picture. Man. Can you imagine? That's going to be a picture that family's going to treasure the rest of their life. Because of you, God is putting families on a spiritual path for freedom. Because of you, families are being put back together even. And you say, well, what's my next step if I want to be water baptized? Well, I got an easy one for you today. You can get water baptized today. Come on, man. We do water. Come on. Today's the day. We're doing water baptisms today. and you say, well, I don't have any clothing. I'm not ready for it. We got it all. We have it ready for you. When we dismiss, all you have to do is go out Tunnel 3 right here. There'll be a table out there. You'll see it says water baptism. They'll walk you back to the changing rooms. We have clothes for you. And we said, well, then my hair will be messed up. We have curling iron, straightening irons, straightening curling irons. He said, what's on the, that is, what do you have for the women? Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's bad, Pastor. That's all right. Jesus loves me, this I know. Okay, so. But I want to encourage you, if you've never been water baptized since you've given your life to Jesus, go ahead and take that next step today. You might be a dad here or a mom, and dad, listen to me. If you've given your life to Jesus and never been water baptized, and maybe your wife hasn't, lean over and say, baby, let's do this today. I'm telling you, you take spiritual steps together as a family, it changes everything. I want to encourage you. Come on, would you celebrate with those that are being water baptized today? What a great thing, isn't it? This next number is one of the greatest life change numbers that I could ever dream to announce to you as a pastor. 2,953 people were in small groups last year in 2019. Those are all unique individuals. That's not a person that's taken four small groups. That's each individual person. Almost 3,000 people were a part of a small group. And a small group is a time when you can come together where a very large church gets very, very small. It's where you actually do find freedom. Because we know this, that true life change happens in the context of relationships. And so people often say, well, man, how do you connect in a church this big? Can I tell you, if you go to a church of 50 people and you don't talk to anybody, you won't connect there either. But small groups are a way not just for you to make connections, but it's for you to receive care and for you to find freedom in your walk with God. It's where you can take off the mask, come as you are, and let God do something great in your life. So how many of you are thankful for almost 3,000 people in small groups? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. We have small groups that run all the way down into the elementary age, and they run during the service and through middle school. They're remarkable. We have leaders serving your children right now. There's no babysitting in this church. That is not the church of tomorrow. That is the church of today. And I am so grateful for people in this church serving and making a difference. Dream team members all over this building. Aren't you glad for them serving your kids? Come on, man. So good. On Wednesday night, we have our high school ministry. They call it Sozo. And there are 111 students in small groups on Wednesday night, senior high students, and 40 adult leaders, guys, that are devoting their life to those kids. That's a great thing to celebrate. Come on, man. Think about that. Let me stop and just tell you a little quick story. This is the family I was referring to earlier. They came up to me last night. They live almost an hour away from here. So they got a bus together and brought 36 students here to go to Sozo. And they bused their kids and it seemed like half their school came here. And something though very remarkable happened. There was a student who was struggling with some very, very, very significant issues that are very prevalent in our culture today. And it thrilled my heart to tell you that student came here. And then that student gave their life to Christ as well. And their life is being changed right now. Right now, their life's being changed. It's incredible. And I'm talking about significant issues. Our children, our students are facing issues that we didn't even know existed, in a sense, as a culture 20 years ago. And there's no way you're walking in freedom in this world without the help of a Savior. And not just the help of a Savior. But there are 40 adults on Wednesday nights who are committed to walk with students in small groups. And I'm so grateful for those 40 adults, some of them committing to stay with a student from 9th grade to 12th grade to be a part of their spiritual life. How many of you are glad you go to a church with people who serve Jesus like that and serve our children? What a blessing, man. Absolutely incredible. So what's your next step? Join a small group. They're launching right now. I don't know how to do that. Go on our website, myvfc.info. Go to the small group finder. Find one and get in one. So I don't know. I'm going to pray about it. Okay, let me save you prayer time. Go do it. Pray about important things. Pray about things you shouldn't need. I can tell you, you need to be in a small group. So everyone get in one. Do you know that in our high school ministry, they are right now on 4 high school campuses having services at the school during school time in their schools with student leaders? It's remarkable. They have a goal to be on 20 campuses, and they want to add four more in 2020. Aren't you glad for a ministry of young people that are bringing the gospel to their world? And last year, in the schools, they led in their times, at their schools, 17 students to Jesus in the schools. Thank God for evermore. Amazing, amazing. And this is maybe this eternal number. Man, I want you to, man, just bring down the rafters thanking Jesus for this number. 941 students in Next Gen Ministry gave their life to Jesus in 2019. Come on, man. Think about it. 941. Man, that is a move of God. All of this is happening because of you. And how many of you like me want to see more of it next year? I know I do. And I'm telling you, 2020, this year, God's wanting to do something amazing. And, you know, outreach is a huge part of this church. We have made such a deep commitment to live outside the walls of our church. And so let me just tell you one thing, and Parker alluded to it a little earlier. In less than a month, we're launching the Newcastle campus over in Newcastle. It's going to be incredible. And we're believing God to touch that city greatly. Let me just give you just a little information about what that looks like. Because people say, well, what does that campus look like? Here's what it looks like. Pastor John and Kara Owens are going to be the campus pastors there. So let me tell you what a weekend service will look like. It will be identical to what you see here. Every student ministry, everything that's available here at Victory will be available there day one. And they'll have their own worship. Everything will be done there independently. The only thing that will not be done from there is my speaking. We're going to bring my speaking in via the internet, and I'll be able to speak to them just like I'm speaking to you. Screen will come down and say, well, I wouldn't like to watch a screen. I preach, and I'm telling you, 90% of people don't look at me anyway. They look at the screen. And you know, at the end, when we worship and our worship team comes back and then we get in the presence of God, we wait and see, God, what do you want to do? That's when Pastor John's going to take it over. When I say every head bowed, every eye closed, and I go to tell people about giving their life to Jesus, John will pick it up right there. And it's going to, I'm telling you, God is going to do amazing things in Newcastle. Come on, our first campus launch. And we're believing God for God to help us to identify our next campus that we're going to launch in 2020. As well. Now, this is really, really important. These are some details because you're the Sunday morning folks here at Victory, so you need to really listen. Now, you know, sometimes you can be here but not listening, so pinch the person beside. Don't do that. So just, this is important. Starting on February 23rd, Sunday the 23rd, we are changing service times at this campus to be in conjunction and congruent with the Newcastle campus. So what does that mean to me? It means there's a 9:30 and an 11 o'clock service. So you're going to be able to have two choices from which to come to church here at Victory at this campus, and there'll be the same two choices at the campus up in Newcastle, and then our next campus will keep those together. And we're doing that for a variety of reasons, but one of them is this, is that I know that people need more options to be able to truly be able to make their relationship with God on a weekend a part of their life. And I want to take down every bar and every wall to give you every opportunity to make putting God first on a weekend and in your week, which God commands in His Word for you to do as a believer. And I want to help you to be able to do that. So starting the 23rd, we'll be starting 9:30 and 11 o'clock services here at this campus, the same day we launch in Newcastle. So we're giving you more options. How many of you like options? I love options. And then lastly, as we talk about outreach, and we're going to go into this the next 3 weeks in great depth, kingdom builders. How many of you are grateful to be a kingdom builder? Yes. So what's a kingdom builder? I don't know what you're talking about. Let me tell you what it is. Kingdom builders. Last year, we made a commitment as kingdom builders to give outside the walls, totally outside the walls of this church, $1.4 million. And you met that goal last year. Praise God. And I'm going to give you more details. You exceeded that goal. And I've got some fun things to share with you next week. I promise you, if you come next week, you will cry. And I'm not a big crier. The older I get, I cry easily. I used to have to pull out a couple nose hairs to get tears. But is that more than you needed to know? I'm sorry. Bad pastor again. I'm sorry. But Pastor Chris Palmer is our outreach pastor. In fact, right now, he's in the Dominican Republic with a missions team right now. So we asked them to send up a video from the Dominican of Pastor Chris sharing to you and the heart of victory in regards to our outreach. Now, he has these glasses on that, you know, if he didn't have the glasses on, it's really sunny there, which we haven't seen the sun, I don't know, in 6 or 7 years. And so, but without the glasses, the boy looks a lot like Joel Osteen. With the glasses, he just looks like a really cool one, okay? So, hey, take a look at Pastor Chris sharing with you the heart of outreach here at Victory. Take a look.
Hey, church family. I'm so excited to tell you about the impact that you made last year through missions and outreach. Our passion and our vision as a church is to help all people realize that God loves them unconditionally. And in order to fulfill the mission of reaching all people, we knew that we had to leave our church and go out into the communities and into our neighborhoods. Last July, we had the opportunity to impact our neighbors, our friends, and businesses in our area through our annual Serve Day. Over 900 of you gave of your time, your resources, to help meet the needs of ministries, single moms, families in need, and literally became Jesus with skin. It was awesome to see generations of families serving God together to make an impact. I know that there was one woman whom we serve that said because of our efforts, it was the first time she saw her husband smile since the devastating loss of their child. Last year, many of you discovered your gifts and your purpose through serving others, and you made outreach an ongoing part of your life. Thank you. In 2019, we had 225 outreach opportunities throughout the year, and over 3,500 of you stepped out and became kingdom builders. We reached the cities of Butler, Newcastle, Pittsburgh, Elwood City, and Beaver Falls. You helped provide food and clothing for families in need. You made the holidays like Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas possible for those who just couldn't provide for themselves. And those of you in small groups collected donations, rallied together to bring gifts to our veterans. Through that one outreach alone, we were able to bless over 200 veterans and let them know just how much we honor and appreciate them. Last year, you truly brought hope to the hopeless. But the impact you made wasn't just felt locally, it was felt around the world. I love this because it fulfills the great commission that Jesus gave us. Jesus said, "Go into the whole world and preach the gospel to all people." And last year, some of us were called to leave our state and even our country to share the love of God. In 2019, we went on 6 mission trips to places like Mexico, West Virginia, and Nicaragua. 79 members of our church family stepped out, raised the funds, and built the kingdom of God around the world. This includes 35 juniors and seniors in our high school ministry who went on a mission trip here to the Dominican Republic. These trips afforded us the opportunity to hold medical clinics and vacation Bible school. We were able to build and restore schools and churches, visit orphanages, and equip pastors in those countries. You know, just like Jesus, you did good deeds and met the practical needs of people, but with every good deed, you also share with them the amazing news of Jesus Christ. And as your outreach pastor, I'm so excited to tell you that through all of our outreach efforts, last year we were able to see over 325 people give their lives to Christ. I'm so proud of you for being the hands and feet of Jesus. I'm proud of you for stepping outside of your comfort zone and into your purpose so that all people can experience the love of God. Keep making an impact, church. Continue to put God first and remember that you are a kingdom builder.
Amen. Praise God. That's so exciting. Hey, I want to remind you that your next step, if you want to go on a mission trip, is you could take it today. Actually, over by Tunnel 1, this section back here, the seating, right after the service, they're going to be there to help you understand how to take a short-term mission trip in 2020 and beyond if you'd like to. Details are available. Please stop by there. A bunch of people stopped by last night because we want to increase our reach around the world with you having boots on the ground. We're going to be having over 11 mission opportunities available for each and every one of you. Now, this next number I'm about to give you is the number above all numbers, okay? So I want you to praise God from your heart and to shout. In fact, I want you to stand, give God in a moment when I say the number, you got to do like the standing ovation thing, like the fourth quarter touchdown, because this number is why we exist as a church eternally. Last year, 3,059 people gave their lives to Jesus in this building. Come on, man, stand up and let's thank God for that. Oh, what a great thing to be a part of. Come on. Lift your voice and thank God. Father, we are so grateful. Thank you for the privilege. Oh, we're so grateful. Oh, man, that is like, oh, that's touchdown, baby. Oh, a Super Bowl touchdown. Come on. You can be seated, man. What an amazing year we had in 2019. And all of it happened, every bit of it, because of you. And we want to see more of it in 2020. More people coming to Christ. More people being water baptized. More people going into Starting Point. More people into small groups. More people into mission trips. More people doing everything that God created them to do in the earth. But here's what I want you to see. And I'm going to take you to the Word for just about 5 minutes, 6-7 minutes right now, maybe 12. No, so I'm being good. Okay. That because of you, all of these things happened. But there are three because of yous that can trap you or release you. And all of us find ourselves in one of these three because of yous in our life right now. In fact, it's because of you, one of them, that we were able to fulfill everything we did in 2019 and we'll be able to fulfill everything God has called us to do. And I want to talk to you about the first one that I think all of us are tempted to, and some of us are absolutely stuck in. And let me talk to you about the first because of you. Because of you, you hurt me. Because of you, my life's this way. Because of you, I'm stuck. Because of you, I live in fear. Because of you, I'm afraid of relationships. Because of you, I trust nobody. Because of you, and somebody in your life has damaged your own life. Sometimes it's when you look in the mirror and you say, because of you, and you look at decisions you've made. And it's so easy to get stuck in that because of you. You will never live the life you were meant to live if you're trapped in the because of yous. And I'm not justifying anything that was done to you or anything that you did. But Jesus died to set people free, no matter what because of yous may happen. And until you learn how to get outside the because of you that traps you, you will never live the life you were meant to live. I want to take you into the story in the Bible very quickly of a woman who was a Samaritan woman the Samaritans were hated by Jews, and women were very, very, they were considered the lowest part of culture in that day. And I want to read you a story of this woman that Jesus interacted with her. And I'm going to read it out of John 14. And you're going to find her because of you where she was stuck. Jesus tired from a long walk. This is John 4, verse 6. Jesus was tired from a long walk. He sat wearily beside Jacob's well at the Samaritan village of Sychar at about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift of God, that the one he has for you, and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, and this well's very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he did, and his sons and his animals enjoyed? Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again. I won't have to come here to get water. Jesus said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband. You certainly spoke the truth, for you have five husbands, and you're not even married to the man you're living with now. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. Five times she'd been divorced. If you didn't know anything about that culture, it wasn't her choice. This woman was rejected by five men in a marital context. Can you even fathom the pain of being discarded five times? And finally, with a man who's either using her as a servant or for sex or both. If anybody had a right to say, because of you, I'm stuck. But Jesus came and revealed himself to somebody. It's remarkable. The throwaway of life, the one that people would give up on. He stopped in his tracks, and he stopped her because of you. And the question you have to answer is, who hurt you? Do you want to give them your past? Do you want to give them your future? You have to get past your past. And the only way you can do that is to go to the second because of you. The second because of you is this: Jesus saved me from all of that. And listen to what he did for this woman. In John 4:25, the woman said, "I know Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Jesus told her plainly, "I am the Messiah." You can read through the Gospels, including his disciples. Jesus never revealed himself more plainly than he did to the Samaritan woman. He told her who he was so plainly. She wasn't Jewish. She was discarded by the Jews. She was discarded as a Samaritan because the Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans. And she was discarded by 5 men and being used by another one. And Jesus stopped in his tracks and revealed himself to her, and he set her free. She did something that very few people do, though, once they get to the second because of you. Sometimes we get to the second because of you, where Jesus saves us, and that's where we just camp. God, thank you for helping me. Thank you for getting me free from this or from that. And we never move beyond our own freedom, our own help, to the third because of you. The third because of you is this: Jesus used me to save someone else. That's the one every one of us are called to live in. Until we live a because of you life, we're never going to know the greatest joy known to man on this earth. It's when you live beyond yourself. And I want you to see what this woman did. In John 4:27, then his disciples came back, and they were shocked to find him talking to a woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask, "What do you want with her? Why are you talking with her?" The woman had left her jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone. Listen to me. She ran back, starting to tell it. She said, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be Messiah?" So the people came streaming from the village to see him. She was bringing people to Christ. Verse 39, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I did." But when they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. And they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." She went to the third because of you. She didn't get stuck in the first one, "Because of you, my life's messed up." And she didn't get to the second one, where the Savior said, "I will give you living water." She left the Savior and ran to tell others. And I want to tell you the end of this woman's life. Church history gives us a record of her life. And the disciples gave her a different name. They called her the apostles. They named her Fotini. They changed her name. And the name Fotini means the enlightened one. And Fotini, from that day forward, never stopped telling people. After the resurrection of Jesus, Fotini, filled with the Holy Spirit, left Samaria and went to Carthage in North Africa and led multitudes and multitudes to Christ as an evangelist. She became so prominent that Nero had her arrested and brought to Rome, where she was martyred. And she stood before Nero. When Nero, and church history records their dialogue, and Nero commanded that she renounce Christ and basically worship him as God. And here was a woman that had 5 men abuse her, discard her, and one that wasn't even willing to marry her. This is a woman that was set free by God, but then a woman that was so mightily used of God. The apostles, in fact, in church history, she's regarded at their level of influence. I want you to read the quote that she said. If you know anything about history, Nero was this evil, wicked, sexually deviant, broken human being that destroyed people. He's evil. I want you to see where this woman went from being a victim to being a world changer, and so can you. Listen to this. Listen to this, what she said. This is her quote, her response to Nero. "O most impious," meaning showing no respect for God, "O most impious of the blind and profligate," which means sexual deviant. She wasn't shy. She said, "You sexual deviant and you stupid man." I don't think she used to talk to men that way, did she? "Do you think me so deluded that I would consent to renounce my Lord Christ and instead offer sacrifice to idols as blind as you?" And he had her martyred. He thought her life meant more than her God, and it didn't. Today, Nero's dead and in hell, and she's not. Nero was a king on earth, but he's no longer a king. And what I want you to see today is this is the because of you. I don't care where you find yourself today. Whatever the first because of you brought you to today, I don't care where that is. I care if it hurt you, but that doesn't have to define you anymore. Because you can give your life to the one who gave his life for you. And then if you stop there, you'll never live the life you were meant to live. You are called like Fotini was to go into your world, maybe not to leave and be in ministry like she did, but in your world to begin to reach your world around you. And when you begin to serve outside of yourself, what you were known as the front end, you will live differently, almost entirely on the back end. And Fotini's children, church history says, ended up doing great things with their life. That was not going to be the destiny of those kids. You can change generations by letting the first because of you be swallowed up in the second, Jesus, and then moving to the third, where you live beyond yourself and let Jesus use you to bless others. Would you bow your heads with me today? I want to pray for every one of you here today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you an encouragement today, and I want to also make you know that the service, we're going to worship for a moment and wait in God's presence. It's like the last of the fourth quarter when the score's tied. It's the best part because God's going to do real things in real time right now by his presence and his power. But if you're here today and you were to say to me, you know, Pastor, if I died right now, I'm not sure where I would spend my eternity. One thing we all know for certain is that this life is very short, and none of us live on the earth forever. None of us. Jesus made it very clear that there is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And he paid such an awesome price with his very own life to pay the debt and the penalty for my sin and your sin that you could never pay. And today, if you believe that Christ Jesus, he's the Son of God, that he died on that cross for your sins, was buried and then rose from the dead, and you believe that he did that for your sin, and you desire to receive Christ today, please know he promises in his word that he turns no one away. He said, I'll come and I'll make you brand new. I've taken your sin and I've paid for it, and I'm going to now give you my righteousness, my ability to walk free from sin, never to be defined, now to be called a child of God, heaven bound. Heaven is your home, not because of your commitment, but because of his. So if you're here today and you're not certain of your eternal status, where you're going to spend your forever, and you want to receive Christ today, maybe you've never done it or you're not sure, I want to pray for you. And please, I'll pray for you right where you're seated. If you're watching online, thank you for joining us. I'll pray for you right where you're at. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. This isn't about your heroics. This is about you receiving the one who died for you. You see, there's only one of two options with Jesus, is you choose to receive him or you choose to reject him. There is no middle ground. The absence of receiving Christ is the choice to reject him. And God honors our choice. But right now, if your heart's far from God, you've never given your life to Christ, or you're not sure, you're sensing something like, what is this? It's the very person of God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, who would tug on your heart and draw you to your Heavenly Father because he loves you. So if you're here today and you would say, Pastor, please include me in a prayer to invite Christ in my heart. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to receive him into my heart today as my Savior and Lord. I want to know that when I leave this earth, I'm going to be in heaven. And I want to turn my life to him and turn away from the life I've lived. And I want him to save me from the because of yous of my life. And I want him to make me brand new. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you desire to be included in that prayer, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. I'll have the whole church pray the prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I'll do it right now. Just simply raise your hand right now. Come on, do it right now. Don't be shy about your eternity. Lift your hand high and say, I want to have eternal life. I want to make Christ the Lord of my life. You've not yet raised your hand. Say, I want to join those. You can see I'm not going to embarrass anybody. Say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Lift your hand right now, right now. Don't walk out of this place running from the one who loves you. Yield to him. Pour your heart to him. God bless you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you so much. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, I want you to repeat this prayer after me, and it's not some dead religious prayer. You're inviting a living God to come into your broken, sin-stained life. He turns no one away. He will make you brand new. And you keep coming back. You keep taking next steps. He'll bring you into a life you never imagined. Like Fotini, she could have never fathomed that day at the well that someday she would look face to face with the Emperor of Rome and tell him, "You are not my God." Her life touched multitudes. What's God going to do through you? He'll restore every broken place because that's who He is. So if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it, and we're going to pray it with you. Jesus will come into your heart, and He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Pray it out loud where you hear it, and we'll pray it with you. Say, Heavenly Father, say it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt, the debt I could never pay. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I turn from my old life and I turn to you today. And I ask you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for coming into my life, making me brand new, totally canceling my sin debt. I am now a child of God. Jesus is now the Lord of my life. And when I die, I will make heaven my home because Jesus died for me. Amen, amen, amen. Give them a hand. Best decision of your life. Come on, man. And a lot of people gave their lives to Jesus this weekend. Best decision of your life, but don't let it end there. Please don't let it end there. Take a next step. Please come back. Please get connected. Please go to the 10-minute party today. Let us help you to walk with God just as you are. Let us help you walk with you like we walk with one another through the hard things of life. He'll take you places you never dreamed possible. Oh, He's so remarkable. In a moment, I'm going to ask you just to worship with us for a moment. Then we're going to wait in the presence of God. And I want to see God by your Spirit. What do you want to do? Now listen, this time in the service is so important. This is when the Holy Spirit of our God can manifest Himself in real time and do the impossible. To make sick bodies well. To bring understanding that you couldn't have in 10,000 years. We're not talking about just some kind of sing a song. We're talking about worshiping a living God, a God that wants to manifest His presence in our midst and do things that can never be done, miracles and things that will just shake you to your core. That's what happens in the presence of God because of His great love. Would you stand with me? And we're going to go into His presence and we're going to worship Him from our heart. Do you know He's your living hope? Say it out loud. Jesus, my living hope. Come on, say it again. Jesus, my living hope. Come on, let's worship Him in song. Worship. But we don't come to church to just sing a few songs and go home. We come to experience your presence. Lord, help us to understand that when your presence is in this room, nothing's impossible. Things that people have fought through, even generationally, you can change in the blink of an eye. We believe in a living God, a God whose arm is not too short, that nothing is impossible with you. As we were worshiping God this morning, Holy Spirit just so deeply impressed on my heart something. And I don't have time to give you a great understanding of what that means, but in the Bible, there are called gifts of the Holy Spirit, where God will bring an understanding about a portion of somebody's life. It's very specific to your life, only a portion of it, but to help you to know that He sees you where you are. Not just to say, "Hey, I see you," like a hitchhiker, "I'll take a ride with you." God shows up nowhere that He doesn't want to bring freedom and deliverance, to take you places you never dreamed possible. As we were worshiping, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart so strongly. He said, there are people stuck in that first because of you. Something's happened in your life, and maybe it's the way you were raised or not raised. Maybe who left you, who didn't stay, who treated you poorly, who hurt you, harmed you in any imaginable way that people harm people. Maybe it's you that you look at and you think, "I've so messed my life up, man. I've messed up relationships. I'm hopeless." I want you to understand something. That day when Fotini was at the well with Jesus, she didn't go to that well with any hope. She left with living water. And she left and changed the world. It's encountering Jesus that changes your life in his presence. Not your commitment to God, as important as that is. It's not what you do that makes God love you. It's his presence in your life. The Holy Spirit spoke so strongly in my heart that I want to take people from that first because of you. And I want to set them free. Even as a child of God, as a Christian, you can be stuck there. Bitterness can saturate your soul. Your conversations start with, I can never, because of them, you've got to change that because of him to because of them to because of you, God, you set me free. And not even to stay there, but because of you, I'm going to be used to set others free. What defined me? Imagine Fotini being defined as a woman abused by men, who stood in front of the most powerful man in the world and called him what he was when she asked him to worship. She wasn't being rude. She said, he said, worship me. And she said, you're a sexual deviant. You're no God. You're a dumb idol. You think I'll trade Jesus for you? You're out of your mind. That's our common day vernacular. That's what God does in someone's life. And that's what he wants to do in your life. And he wants you to take you on a journey where what you experience today in his presence is something that you live with from here on out and begin to grow more and more into that freedom. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, in a moment I'm going to pray for you, but you need to acknowledge this before heaven. Every head's bowed, every eye closed, between you and God. So Pastor, I'm stuck in the first because of you. I'm stuck where whatever it is, something you did, something others did to you, it just seems like I can't get out of this. Maybe it's a tragedy that happened in your life. Because of that tragedy, I'm stuck. I can't. And you're right, you can't. But God never asked you to do anything on your own. He's the deliverer. Fotini's life was changed because of the presence of Jesus, not because she became strong the day she went to get water out of a well. So if you're here today and say, I'm stuck there, and I want the God of all glory to love me and to liberate me and to bring that living water up out of me like a babbling brook to set me free and to put me on a new course, would you lift your hand right where you're standing? Do it right now. And when you lift your hand, you're saying, I want all that you have for me. I believe that you're greater than my past. You're greater than my failures. You're greater than any circumstance that's happened in my life. I'm telling you, God's presence right now is in this room. And I'd like all of you, if you would, just to lift both of your hands along with him. Let's all lift our hands and surrender to God as I pray for them. Father, we lift our hands as an act of worship, but also as an act of surrender. And we know that we have no power and no strength to win these battles on our own. And I thank you for the presence of Jesus in this room by the power of the Holy Spirit that goes into every one of our lives, the broken places, the hopelessness that has trapped us. And I thank you, Father, for making them free today. I thank you for bringing the sweeping power of your Spirit and doing things in their body, in their mind, in their circumstances, in their finances, that only you can do to bring them to the place you've prepared for them. I thank you for your healing power to work in bodies that have been made sick and there's hopelessness in their body. Thank you for your great healing power in this room. Lord, I pronounce that over these precious people. And we love you, we serve you, and we will not live in the first because of you. We won't even live in the second where we just celebrate our freedom. We will live in the third, and we will go change this world, no longer being victims, but being world changers for us, our children, and everyone we love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, man. Aren't you grateful for... Oh, man. These next 3 weeks are going to be so powerful. I pray you put God first on your weekends. Get your kids here. There's so much God's wanting to do. It's going to be the greatest year of your life. Absolutely the greatest, greatest year of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.